The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
I already put 43. We are A. Okay. All right. That's a lot of episodes, actually. Fucking A. Anyways, you ready? Huh?
Yeah.
Shimon.
Are you?
Yeah, I think I'll be all right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of video games. That's right. Changed it up a little bit. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And based on the recent election, they're probably in Canada right now. They probably went to Canada. Fuck. Good for them. We're going to stick it out because we're fucking patriots. Anyways, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. And with me is Alex Cordova.
With you as a goddamn American until
that's
you
right.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's fucking Commie Dover right there, dude.
Whoa,
so. I think we did our Republican versions of our names, and it was Red Pill Phil, and I was Far Jesus Right Swen.
Far Right.
And then Adrian was Stop to Steal Sanchez. So.
Jesus.
Oh, it was a good time. All right, let's see here. Now, how about we run through a couple of these fucking quick bits? Did you do them last time? Did I do them? I can't fucking remember.
No, I did them.
All right, cool. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it because I want to talk shit on Mass Effect, so I'll go ahead and take care. But so to kick off the show, first, I'm going to pour one out for my fucking boy, right?
Oh, what is that? A claw? What was that?
That is a Jamaica hibiscus cocktail from VMC because I'm a fancy AA. This was a gift. Anyways, that is for our boy Tony Todd, Mr. Candyman himself, and of course, Venom. So...
Yeah, he was also a lot of NPC. Oh no, I'm sorry, not NPC, but voice actors for a lot of different games.
Yeah, he's got the pedigree, man. Yeah, Tony Todd, the fucking goats. He's a horror icon, a video game icon, just an icon for nerds in general, and apparently one of the coolest motherfuckers around. Would always lend his voice in interviews for up and comers. He's a badass, and of course, the gaming world is less without him. So
yes, and the movie world as well. He was in numerous movies.
Mm-hmm.
Famous for The Rock going one-on-one against was it Sean Connery?
Sean Connery?
No, I'm sorry. He shared a scene with Ed Harris, dude. It was very intense.
That's right.
So, yeah, very sad that he's gone at the ripe age of, what, 67, 69, something like that?
He was older, wasn't he?
I don't know. I think he was 60. He was in his late 60s. Can you look that up real quick?
I'm going to look it up right now. Tony Todd. Let me see. I don't even fucking know. I think you're right, though.
But
69.
Yeah, see, 69.
He still had so many years left. Fuck.
Yeah. He was absolutely amazing as Venom in Spider-Man 2. The voice that he had.
There we are. Yeah, hey.
There it is. So, what do you want to talk about?
Our boy Tony Todd, that's what I want to talk about. Excuse the gap in little editing gap in there. That is my bad.
So here we're gonna do some editing magic right here. I'm gonna pick up off the what I was saying earlier about how no disrespect to my boy Tom Hardy, but Tony Todd is the voice of Venom in my book. He did absolutely amazing in Spider-Man 2. I really wish we would have gotten DLC with him. But yeah, thanks Insomniac Leakers, you pieces of shit.
Yeah, no, absolutely, fucking A. Ugh, so I gotta replace his ass, but there's no replacing Tony Todd. There's just substituting, I guess. There'll be somebody, let them develop their own voice. But, you know, for all what he's done for cinema and video games, and just for nerds in general, Tony Todd has reached his final destination. R.I.P. Yeah,
damn, he was a final destination?
He was a final destination.
Let me give a little chug of my alcoholic beverage to Tony Todd.
There you go. Let's do this one for T-Dog. Let's go. Damn, that's pretty goddamn good. Anyways, employees at Marvel Rivals and Destiny Rising developer NetEase have been arrested for allegedly being part of a money laundering operation valued.
Vault.
up to $139 million. What the fuck?
Hey, dude. Mobile gaming. What can you say?
Yeah, you know, good point. Very, 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 very good point. In way better news, Amazon's Fallout Season 2 gains Macaulay Culkin. That's fucking right, as a cast member. That is dope. All right, I'm going to do two more, then we'll talk about it. And, of course, John, is DiMaggio?
Yeah, I think it's DiMaggio.
DiMaggio and Carlos Ferro will return to voice Marcus Fenix and Dom Santiago, respectively, in Gears of War E-Day. And, of course, in hilarious news, Warner Brothers admits Multiversus has underperformed with another $100 million loss to revenue in the game's division. All right, let's go back up there. We already talked lovely about Tony Todd. Deserves to be, of course, top of the show.
Yep.
Money laundering, huh? That's a pretty big fucking sum for them to be taking. That's a lot.
Here's the thing. Okay, so mobile gaming is the cancer of the industry. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It is worse than Fortnite. It is worse than Call of Duty. It is worse than Battle Passes. It brings nothing of value to the gaming industry. And I blame them for the demise of the PlayStation Vita and the Nintendo 3DS. Yes, the Nintendo had a great fucking run, but we never got a successor because of mobile gaming on phones, which is bullshit.
Yeah, so, it is pretty bullshitty. I agree.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for them. It is funny that, you know, like who would have thought that a fucking game built around not so much Marvel Rivals because it's not out yet, but Destiny Rising, and I believe actually NetEase did do that Diablo Immortal.
Oh my god, come on. That phone. Come on.
Yeah, so they are known for fucking microtransactions, bullshit ass gotcha tactics.
Yeah, bullshit ass, I got you. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
and who knows? Oh, big surprise. They were doing it to fucking launder money. Great.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow, people who are experts at exploitation are doing an exploitation loophole. What do you know? Man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. Kind of whack. The casting stuff's pretty cool, though, for both Amazon or for Fallout. Are they calling it Fallout 2?
Fallout Season 2, I believe.
Okay, so Fallout Season 2, great fucking casting with Macaulay Culkin right there. I don't know how much he's going to be in the show, but, like, awesome. And, of course, having the OGs back for Gears is also very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like I've talked about before on the show, you know, Gears 4 and 5 are just missing that Gears feeling. And I think it was because you didn't get to play as Marcus and Dom. But, like, the prequel, I hope that this Gears of War E-Day is, like, the Halo Reach of Gears of War. You know, like everything is just fucking turned up to 11. It's the last one, so to speak.
Yeah. Unquote.
But they just kind of go all out with it, you know? Kind of like Halo Reach was for Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Ending on a you know, a high note.
I mean, that's a very good comparison. Like, Reach itself was, because it was, you know, better tech, better all this, better that. But it used it to tell that origin story incredibly well. So, I mean, we'll fucking see. Microsoft, I don't know. We know how they've been with their games division. I think now with, like, Avowed and Fable and all this shit, it's time for us to really see what they can do. So this is a good start. This is a really, really good start with returning cast. Hopefully it has the same feel. And it'll probably go to PlayStation also. I assume. I assume that's how it's going to work.
They got to make that Activision money back, you know?
Yep, that's very true. Speaking of not making any money back, Warner Brothers.
Yeah, well, you know what else kind of goes hand in hand with this is what they were talking about in that same call about Hogwarts Legacy 2, where they said that they were fast-tracking it to line up with the Harry Potter reboot on Max, I believe, right?
Yes.
The TV show? So, sorry, as we've reported before, you know, that Hogwarts Legacy 2 isn't going to be the same as the first Hogwarts Legacy.
No. Mm-mm.
It's going to have battle passes and seasons and all that bullshit that no one wants. So,
yeah.
yeah, it just they just don't fucking learn. I just don't understand it. Like, you know, multiverses, like we all played the beta. It was fun, but it lost its luster once it became as grindy as it was, you know? Like, it's like, I'm
playing this game. Yeah.
Like, day in, day out, just to unlock a fucking character. Like,
the time investment was way too much for what you got out of the game when you can just play Smash. Like, honestly. Yes, exactly. Like, that shit. Exactly. Because, really, multiverses, I felt, was so much fun if they just made it a regular-ass game. God, that would have been awesome. That would have been the shit. That would have been some Hogwarts shit right there. Honestly.
Fucking $60, let me buy the fucking game with all the characters unlocked and get your bullshit-ass microtransactions out of here.
Yeah, just give me regular DLC. Give me regular-ass DLC. How much money did I spend on Smash Brothers? Come on. Because they fucking kept giving us good shit.
Yep. Yeah. So I agree. I mean, Warner Brothers, DC, I mean, it has famous characters. Like, don't get me wrong, but the fact that you need to play every fucking day for 3 weeks straight just to unlock one character is like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that.
No. Nope. As much as I love spiking people with Bugs Bunny's mallet, I just can't. I just can't.
Yeah.
God, he was so fun. Crazy. Bugs was good. Bugs was good fucking character. God, that game fucking hurts me. Ugh. All right. Let's continue with a couple of these bad boys right here. For the rest of the quick bits, Donkey Kong Country at Universal has been revealed, confirming the rail jumping coaster, banana based treats, and a December 2024 opening in Japan. It is also expected to open in May 2025 at Universal Studios Florida. That's right. And of course, an interesting other Microsoft news, Xbox handheld has actually been confirmed, is currently in the prototyping phase, but it is going to be years away. So we are not going to see it for some fucking time. I'm assuming 2 or 3. But yeah, it's currently in development. So there goes some of my money being reserved. Now, another fun news. Oh, boy. Trump tariffs are going to cost gamers, according to Consumer Technology Association report. That's right. Those Switch 2s next year may be slapped with a 50% tariff. Ooh, and that's not including some other kinds of software and gaming stuff, because most of the shit comes packaged from Asia anyway. So let's have fun with that one. Yeah. But on lighter Switch 2 news here, Nintendo confirms that the Switch 2 will in fact be backwards compatible with Nintendo Switch software. So
listen, Nintendo, great company, great. Listen, I know Nintendo. I know Miyamoto personally. Like, he's a great guy. He says, listen, charge me 50% more to sell my Switch there. I said, listen, you're crazy. I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it just because of that. But
that's Nintendo. They're sending the Goombas over the border.
Listen, Bowser, great guy. I've met him. He says, oh, you are the most smartest person I've ever known. And I said, Bowser, please, you have a princess to go talk to. Please. Don't.
Yeah. Eno's on Mario team, that they, them, birdo. What are they? Is it a he or is it a she? I don't know, but I'm not picking up in Mario Party, I'll tell you that.
Listen, I am just the smartest. Bowser looked at me and he said, listen, you're the smartest guy I know. Go ahead and slap 50% taxes on the Switch. They'll pay for it. Listen, they're morons. They'll pay for it. They're going to love it.
They're going to love it. They're going to pay for it. They're going to love it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun. That's going to be. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Since we're imitating that guy, just FYI too, during his last presidency, apparently he did do that tariff as well, but I don't know who was able to block that for electronics. I don't know if it was consumer groups or just a law. So we may be saved with that for electronics, or they may just go full fucking scorched earth and say, you know what, this time we're not gonna, you know, that tariff is going to apply to electronics as well.
It's possible. So I think it's a lobbying, right? I think what's going to happen is it's an extortion tool. It's to get lobbyists to lobby harder with more money. Be like, all right, cool. You guys lobbied enough. Everybody's pockets are fucking lined. No tariffs. No tariffs on these particular goods, because it really comes down to who's paying to circumvent what fucking law. That's what's going to happen. We'll see if they can, though. I imagine the price is going to go quite a bit, you know? We'll fucking see. The price of lobbying or the price of games? Either one, somebody's paying. Somebody's fucking paying. I hope it's not the consumers.
Yeah, listen, gamers love me. They say, "Oh my God, Donald, you're the best gamer ever." And I tell them, "I mean, look, I know, I am just so good at Mario Party." Listen, I work 10 hours and then I play 12 hours of Mario Party. It's great. They're gonna love it.
Mario Golf, please.
Please, I give Mario a handicap of 3. And it's great. Great guy.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, whatever. I'll take a trip to Japan so we can at least get some.
We go over there just to buy it?
Yeah, dude, I'll get the game, and I'm already spending the money anyways, you know? So, because Donkey Kong Country, I must say, that looks pretty interesting. I don't know if it looks as cool as Nintendo World. You've been to Nintendo World, right?
Yeah. Well, I went to the Hollywood one this past month.
Oh, for Horror Nights, right?
Horror Nights, and... I thought it was really cool. I was like, damn, they just need... I mean, it's really stupid that there's only, like, two things to do in there, but, like, I like...
Oh, you didn't get the wristbands?
No, I didn't get the
wristbands. Dude, wristbands make it a lot funner.
It's like $50 for the wristbands.
Oh, is it now? It was 40 when I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Because they gamify the whole park. The whole park is, like, there's secrets everywhere, so it's like you're playing a fucking... You're in a Mario level. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty... Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I love the theming, and the ride was cool and all that. Mm-hmm. So, I think they should totally expand it. And this Donkey Kong Country, you know, land looks super cool, too, as well.
Yeah, I think it's a shame really they don't have a room for it in Hollywood.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, I don't even know where they would expand that in Hollywood if they were to ever bring it there.
Well, to bring it back to an old rumor, I believe Hollywood, whatever that kids section is, like, above... You know, when you first walk in and there's, like, it's next to the Secret Life of Pets and shit like that. Yeah.
That's Minions Land, yeah.
Yeah, but the kids section right next to it, I think it's supposed to be, if I remember correctly, this rumor's from, like, a year ago, Pokemon Land.
Damn.
Yeah, so it's all going to be Pokemon based.
They should fucking wipe out Simpsons Land and just put Pokemon.
No, it was the Simpsons Land. Something else is going to be the kids one. Yeah, Simpsons Land is being negotiated to be Pokemon Land. That's right. Shit,
fuck it. Yeah, give me a little Pikachu. Fucking, I'll go kick him.
Dude, I'm down. Give me Kanto. Be the whole fucking Kanto in there. Dude, give us have gym badges and shit. I'll be battling fucking people, dude. I'll take these kids out. I don't give a shit.
I'll be throwing balls at little kids, dude.
No, seriously.
Pokeballs, I'll
throw them. Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, so I believe Hollywood has different plans. But right now they have the engineering down for Donkey Kong Country. And it's going to be in two different spots. So that's going to be pretty fucking cool.
In Japan or in Hollywood?
Japan and Orlando.
Oh, Orlando. Okay.
Orlando's getting the big. I think Orlando's going to be the biggest one, actually.
Yeah. I always love those Nintendo reveals where they, like, Miyamoto's there just talking about, like, oh, and you can bring your friend. Like, the voiceovers always kill me, dude. They're so good.
He's like, oh, is that a banana?
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
just so like, oh, my God, what a fucking guy.
Comedy.
Dude, of course, that's the goddamn creator Mario right there. But yeah, okay, and also cool and backwards compatibility, you know?
Yep.
Way to get with the 21st fucking century, Nintendo. Thank you.
Yeah, finally. Fucking took you 3 goddamn consoles, bro.
I know.
Yeah, I'll talk. I got a little surprise for my. What am I playing? I got a little surprise.
All right, I didn't even scroll down, so we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But you know, the Xbox handheld is going to be backwards compatible. That will be. You know they're going to let you play fucking every little game you've ever bought in the world on that fucking thing.
Oh, yeah. I hope that Microsoft takes a page out of Valve's book and kind of gives everyone the whole, like, the full package in regards to not making it cloud-based, which, according to your boy Phil Spencer, he did say that local software is a lot more important than cloud-based software, which Yeah, when it comes to a portable, that's a given, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm playing on that goddamn plane. Go to the fucking Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah,
I'm playing fucking thing.
Yeah, and let me just say, if Microsoft wants to, like, you know, make some money, I should say, give me a handheld, fucking bundle it with Game Pass, and also make it to where everything that I've ever bought on my Xbox... I can just download. And that's, again, from Valve, right? My Steam Deck, that was the great thing about it is that once you buy it, you already have a software collection. Everything that I could play on Steam was available to me, right? Mm. So, like, my library of games was already there. So, if Microsoft takes a page out of that book and does that, which I have a strong suspicion they will, I mean, yeah, this is something to keep an eye on. Because let me just say, Halo Master Chief Collection on the Steam Deck right now is absolutely... Yeah, that hits.
Speaking of Halo Reach, man, give me the fucking give me the reach on that, dude.
Yeah, so give me fucking Gears of War on, you know, the portability of a Horde mode Gears of War. You know, give me fucking Call of Duty World at War.
Yeah.
Fucking zombies.
I want my whole fucking library in there. Sometimes I want to play a newer Assassin's Creed on a handheld, and I just want it to work. I just want it to fucking work. I want to go back into Odyssey and just keep going to fucking islands and shit. It's just fun.
Yeah. None of this bullshit. Like, the only thing that should be cloud-based in here is your saves.
Yes.
You should be able to pick up a save based on, well, you know, you're saving it on your Xbox, and then you should be able to pick up your Xbox handheld and play exactly where you left off on. Mm-hmm. That's it. Don't do that fucking streaming shit. Make it to where we can just download the games. Make it none of that bullshit ass fucking proprietary memory cards that Sony fucked up with.
Well, Xbox did it with the Series S anyway, so you know they're gonna fucking they're gonna find some way to do that for you. Trust me, like I get it.
I'm interested in that. I mean, I'll
keep an eye on it. I will keep an eye on it too, honestly. And Microsoft, as much as I dog on them, their hardware's not bad. The Series S is a great machine. The controllers are fucking phenomenal. I think they can make a good handheld. I truly think that they have the capability of making a fantastic handheld. Let's see how it turns out. So yeah,
Microsoft's thing has always been like, you know, you can literally system link an Xbox from 2001 to an Xbox Series X right now, right? Mm. Like, and you can play Halo 1 on it, and it works. So like that, I feel like that's like an untapped feature that they don't really talk about too much.
Yeah, Mike's like, keep courting the nerds. Come on, man. You're almost there. It's okay. But all right, anyways, let's go on to we only have three news bits. We're going to talk about some weigh-ins, and we'll go from there. So, Cordova, this one's you. This is a little update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So, we have an update on Nintendo and their battle against Palworld. So, Nintendo is in a raging battle with Palworld, but the spoils of war may amount to a pretty small sum, around only $65,000 total split between the Big N and the Pokemon Company. So what is that? That's
32 and a half K between them, dude. Yeah. That's two McDonald's employees that can have for them right there.
The only other caveat is that Palworld should stop being sold entirely, which could mean bigger losses than the average white-collar worker's salary. Palworld has reportedly made up to $442 million as of last January, so expect this one to go on a while. And also, an update that I saw today in this headline is that, you know, when they got hit with this lawsuit, it was the same week that they released it on PlayStation, and it became one of the best-selling PlayStation games for that month.
Damn.
So yeah, I don't think the Palworld people care.
No, I don't think so. I think they got the resources to fight this bitch. Just saying. I think they're fine. They're probably fine. And I know they jacked a lot of stuff, but it's not like... I don't think it's enough to get them to stop selling the game. I think Nintendo's just trying to be a bully, but they're... Because they're always bullies, honestly. Nintendo's very litigious. They're incredibly litigious. It just so happens that Palworld got the jump. They got the fucking jump on them, so now they can fight back.
Yeah. They, you know, like we've talked about too, since Palworld came out in March of this year, like, it's kind of like they made Nintendo look stupid. Mm. And, you know, it's not because, oh my God, for a solid, 2 months, it took over. Everyone was talking about Palworld just because of how it was, right? And I think Nintendo felt dumb because they've been doing the same Pokemon game for fucking 10 years now? And it's like, once they had the opportunity with Arceus, whatever it is, fucking the Legends one, right?
Yeah.
They had an opportunity to do something different and they stumbled. It looked like shit. It ran like shit. You know, the gameplay was there, but for following up, you know, on Breath of the Wild or something, you put the Arceus game and Breath of the Wild next to each other. Breath of the Wild, which was a fucking Switch launch game, Breath of the Wild looks amazing.
That's a Wii U game. It's a Wii U game, baby.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So it's like Nintendo kind of made themselves look dumb. Like, they didn't... They should have took the time, made it look like a somewhat next-gen Nintendo Pokemon game. You know, like...
I think they gotta get Game Freak in shape, man. Game Freak is the one being just like, nope, we're gonna keep a small staff, and we're gonna release them every year, and da-da-da-da. Yeah. Like, they need the... They should... That's to make so much money. Why not use the fucking resources and then embarrass Pal World with, like, actually good upgrades?
Yeah, have some pride in Pokemon. Stop giving us remakes and all that shit. Because even...
Give us some remakes. I'm okay with some remakes. Hold on a second. Well, yeah.
But I mean, okay, so the remakes, all right? That's fine. But when you come out with a game that's going to change the Pokemon formula like Legends Arceus was supposed to do, like, you should go all in on it. Not half-ass it like they did.
Shouldn't have the GameCube water effects in 2020, whatever that came out, too?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. Don't have the GameCube water effects. Have regular good water effects. Power World has water effects.
And not only that, but Power World has, like, fucking, like, new gameplay mechanics, right? You can make your pals fucking, like, you know, I mean, I remember the memes. You can make them be basically slaves. You can make them, like, hey, go mine for me and give me stuff to mine while I'm out catching more of you so that I can... create and craft stuff, right? Like, that's where Power World was, like, way different, and that's where it got addictive is that if you catch a water a water pal, then you can just have him water your garden for the herbs to make food and shit, right? It's like,
yeah,
Legends Arceus didn't do that.
So, nope, I should not have named my freaking camp Candyland. That was a bad idea.
it was better than fucking Diddy Land or something.
Oh my god, dude. Oh, that'd be horrible. Oh, they can't even use Diddy Kong in the upcoming Donkey Kong Country now, huh? They're like, ah, shit, we'll rename him to Big D. No, wait, fuck, Little D. Yeah. Ah, god damn it.
And also, too, didn't they say that, like, one of the patents that Nintendo's going after with Power World is the fact that, oh, they're capturing electronic monsters with the sphere-shaped device.
Yeah, the Pokeball mechanic is the main thing, yes.
Yeah, but it's like, have they not heard of a game called Temtem or fucking Ark Survival? Like, those are the same fucking things, but you had no problems with them.
Hey, listen, if they want to get 65K out of those two games, I'm sure they can't. It's 65K, it'll fund the holiday party at Game Freak, I'm sure. I love it. The court chicken just be like, oh, okay, well, it's not a lot of money, but we're not going to let them stop selling the game. I don't know. It's weird. This one go on for a while, but I think until it happens, Power World, whoever the developer is going to be swimming pretty good until they have to close the doors, which I doubt they're going to have to do. So
Yeah. And I know that game, Power World, has kind of fallen out of the gaming limelight, but like, that's just like the way of the world now, right? Like, I mean,
it still has its fans. It still has its fans.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not as popular as it was in March, but like, that's kind of how gaming is nowadays, dude. Like,
I mean, you know, straight with Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go is not as popular as it was when it ruled the world, but it's strong enough to have a loyal following and keep making some fucking money. And that's all they need. That's all they need. True. Yep. All right. Well, speaking of hope, I can't even think of a transition. This kind of makes me sad. Anyways, Mass Effect TV series 2 launch on Amazon. That's right. One of the most narrative-driven video games of all time is, alas, hitting your TV screen. And it's being written and executive produced by Fast and the Furious 9 writer Casey Daniels.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, in terms of his sci-fi chaps, he worked on 10 Cloverfield Lane, uncredited, a movie called Kin, which was animated, I guess, and a four-part web series called Drone, which he only worked on the first episode. No word on stars or release date, but John Cena did share a Mass Effect image on Instagram shortly after this announcement. Discuss.
Jesus.
Dude, I don't care what happens. Give me John Cena Shepherd for sure. I'm down.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me John Cena as Shepherd and just, yeah. That's. Name me one bad John Cena movie.
I don't know. No, I can't.
No, you can't. He fucking has been great in every movie he's done. Peacemaker, awesome. Yeah. Fucking Cock Blockers, he was great. Mm-hmm. Fucking that one Amy Schumer fucking film.
Oh, the train wreck or something? He was the best part of that fucking movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You can't name one bad John Cena
movie. He's even good in the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, he took it to the fucking extreme right there.
Yeah, he did the same thing where it's like, hire a big star, bad guy, now they're good guy, now they're funny. Like, he's exactly what he did, everything he needed to do. He truly did.
Yeah. Yep. I'm here for it. If John Cena's going to be Shepard, I'm there day one.
No, okay. I think he's got the look. Like, he'd be throwing them. Because Shepard's got some one-liners, too. Like, yeah, Shepard definitely has some fucking one-liners. Cena can do it. He'd look, you know, rocking the N7. He'd fucking alien. Like, it's perfect. It's honestly, it's a good casting. And, you know, Mass Effect is very serious sometimes, but it also is, it's just fun. It's poppy, awesome, just like epic fucking shit. Definitely spectacle. So hopefully this guy, whatever Casey Daniels, I still don't have a lot of faith in him, really. but if he's got a good team, you know, maybe they can pump something out of here. I don't know. With Amazon and what happened with Like a Dragon and like them announcing this shortly after completely revamping God of War, it seems like they, with Fallout, they definitely know they got something they can corner the market, and now they have all these deals that were already in place. And they're like, okay, we're announcing this, but we swear it's going to be good. Like, we swear it's going to be good. Like, that seems to be the energy I'm getting from Amazon right now.
I still need to check out the Yakuza one. Like I said, I'm not a huge, I don't know those games a lot, but I have played Yakuza 0 and Yakuza 1. Mm-hmm. And you know, those, if there's any game that can be translated to a TV series, I feel it's like those games.
Yeah.
Because they have that Fallout like nature where there's lore and there's a story there, but they also have that craziness where your character can get sidetracked and just sing karaoke till 2 a.m.
That makes a great scene.
That's what I mean. It's like, I feel like someone can do it, but the thing is that Fallout is successful because Jonathan Nolan is a fan of the games.
Yeah.
He knows what makes the games tick, right? the God of War one, I just really hope those showrunners, like, respect the game. I think we reported on it that the Yakuza guys... they didn't even want, like... Yeah, right?
No, yeah, we reported on it. They did not. Yeah. They did not even play the fucking game. They didn't give a shit.
Like, how well has that worked out for anyone?
It really hasn't. Like, it absolutely... I mean, it just has not... I don't know Casey Daniels' familiarity with Mass Effect, but I'm hoping that based on his limited sci-fi catalog, but enough to, like, have some kind of understanding of what sci-fi is, that he is a fan... Like, I don't... Yeah. It's been years. I actually really want to replay these games now, to be honest with you.
Oh, man. Let me tell you what. I don't... Like, I've talked about a couple of months ago. You know, I was replaying them on the Steam Deck. And, the portability of a Mass Effect in the palm of your hands is like...
The Mass Effect 2, baby. To this day, I was... I think you let me borrow 2.
Yeah, probably.
You let me borrow 2 back in, like... fucking 2010 or whatever it was, and I was like, yeah, I like the first one, it was pretty good. He's like, I got it for like $7 on Xbox. And I thought, I was like, okay, yeah, it was really fun, good launch, whatever. And then 2 just hits you in the fucking face, like, right away.
2, like, that's why I'm trudging along through 1, is because I want to get to 2.
Yeah,
I just remember 2 was the one that just, you know, made it, like, that was the series now.
Yeah.
The gameplay, the fucking story, just kicked it up to 11. I remember buying all the DLC for 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That little, oh, my God. And a controversial take here, I fucking love 3. I think 3's fantastic. I think it's a great conclusion to the series, to be honest with you.
See, that's the thing, too. When I was balls deep in 2, is that I was like, fuck yeah, 3 came out. And then when I got 3, it was the same year I got married.
Oh,
and,
shit.
That's not a good mixture, having a game that you want to play and being married, because you need to give time to the marriage and to a game, and you had to pick one or the other, and guess which one I picked?
You got divorced, so I'm going to go ahead and say mess.
That's the thing, is like, when 3 was at its height, I played it, but I didn't get to get into it like I did 2.
Bro, I got into 3. I'm going to tell you right now. It's up there.
You were the one, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
That multiplayer to this day. Whew. It's like Smash Bros., but just with the Horde mode. Every character's different. The moves are unique. It's just, you develop your own style. It's fucking amazing.
You know, thinking back now, you know what else is crazy about that year? Is I think that it was Mass Effect 3, it was Uncharted 3, and it was fucking Resistance 3 all in the span of, like, fucking 6 months. And I was like, God damn.
Yeah. That's a hard one to keep up with, absolutely. So, I mean, shit, dude. If they nail this show, though, like... I don't need to play the game. I'm gonna watch this Mass Effect narrative play out awesomely.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with these games too, though. Like, are these shows that are games? Do you like it better when it's an adaptation or when it's a like supplementation to it? And, like, kind of like Fallout was.
Tough to say because Fallout makes a lot of sense as supplementation for Mass Effect. I want Shepard. I want Shepard's story for sure. It's why Andromeda didn't work for me. There's no Shepard. Yeah. Like, it's just bullshit. I don't want a bullshitty Andromeda style story.
I don't want a bullshit.
No. I want Shepard's, because his journey is fucking too epic to not put on screen.
Yeah. See, and I think maybe that's where I'm having hope for God of War, is because maybe they were like, yeah, this isn't God of War, so they went back to it, you know?
Yeah,
so
I think the drawing board approach is smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For something like that, you need to adapt the game that people know.
Right? Yeah.
The storyline that people know. You can add to it. That's awesome. But you should not take away from it or make it your own.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Adapt it in a style. Because look at Mass Effect. And fundamentally, it's about choices. Nobody plays it the same way. So you get a chance to do the definitive narrative of Shepard. That, and you have a lot of options to work with. You have Morton, you have all these great characters, you get these things that'll pay off like three seasons down the line. Like, there's so much potential here. So I say just be respectful of the story. And that's what Fallout was. That's what Mario is, to be honest with you. Like, all these good video game adaptations respect the source material. It just so happens Mass Effect is a big scale source material, so you gotta match that fucking scale.
Yep.
Yeah.
I get it. I agree.
Well, let's hope. Let's see. Let's just see. I'm open. I'm not going to talk shit. We talk shit. I don't know. Let's just see. Speaking of talking shit, though, this one's you.
These are your boys.
No.
So, Ubisoft is, surprise, surprise, getting sued. So, two California gamers are taking the fight to Ubisoft over the recent shutdown of the 2014 racing game The Crew. The game became totally unplayable, even for owners of the disc copy.
Damn.
After Ubi shut down the servers due to, quote, infrastructure and licensing constraints, end quote. So the plaintiffs are looking to approve the lawsuit for a class action, so there may be some compensation coming if you bought the game.
Oh no, I didn't buy The Crew at all. God, but, it's just been sitting on shelves for 10 years. I could have just picked it up at any point in the last decade. Could have got some money.
I think the major, the takeaway point from this is not so much the fact that they took it offline. It's more the fact that people who have the disc can't even play it, you know?
Ooh, that disc is garbage.
Yeah, right? So that's the thing that, I mean, I've been talking about it since the inception of this fucking podcast, is when it comes to owning a game, I prefer disc over digital, right? Because they can always delist the digital copy. But when you have a disc, and the disc is nothing but a fucking download, basically,
and
they can still take it away, like, that's bullshit.
I agree. And I think I was seeing a video online recently talking about physical versus digital, and they're like, the split is not as defined as it once was, simply because most games aren't playable from day one anymore. They're just, they're not even fucking playable anymore. They require some kind of patch or some kind of last-minute developer thing to even run the bitch. So, like, if you the way you would continue to be able to play these games, if you were just completely up-to-date before the console dies on everything, and you never delete it. You never delete the update. You never do it, and then maybe you can use your disc at that point, assuming the fucking thing still, the UI still works. They didn't shut down the fucking UI or any bullshit like this. Like, they're really fucking us.
but what's crazy is that this is a fucking racing game. Why does a racing game need to be online only? Like, to where they can't even boot it up on a disc and just play a race?
Because,
like,
they made it in 2014, prime exploitation time, baby. That's when it was a roll of the dice to get those fucking little car skins and shit right there that they wanted to do, you know? Yeah. That, as Ubisoft, of course, they're gonna find a way to fuck everybody. Like, they truly will.
Yep.
Yeah, so no, it's garbage.
I hope they get sued. I hope that the gamers win, because I mean, this is just a shitty practice. There's no reason. There's even, they actually, from the article I read, the lawyer for these guys even mentioned that previously taken offline games like Knockout City, and there was one more, fuck, I forgot what it was. But he basically listed like three games that when they got taken offline, the developers put in an offline mode so that the games can still be played. They just can't be played online, right? So, but that allows people to create LAN parties or like, you know, like a over internet LAN type of situations where they can still find people to play with, right? But the crew is not like that. That's just it's just totally fucked. You put it in a you have the disc, you put it in an Xbox, it's just going to tell you these servers are offline and it's not going to let you do anything.
You get to see an interesting little menu. That's about it. Yeah. That's about it. Exactly. Cutscene in the menu. Bam.
Exactly. Oh, and all this and what was it earlier that we talked about? Was it Switch?
Switch backwards compatibility?
Yeah, the backwards compatibility. Yeah, all that is going to tie into my, what am I playing?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, just remember that. Dude, put it in the back of your mind, people. Cause
gotcha.
I'm going to touch he's back
gonna,
on that.
He's going to touch it right now, dude.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
But first, let's go over these wins real quick. We got a gaming win of the month. I actually didn't include the fails because we've just been so goddamn negative lately. Let's just have a win. Let's just have a fucking win. It's okay. I think this win was very well earned, and we talked about it, touched on it briefly last week, but I'm going to – or last time we had an episode. But I'm gonna expand here. It's Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Really, like, I've been talking shit on this game coming up for the entire year, since Modern Warfare 3, actually, like the inception of this podcast, really. And, I did not realize that this would become one of the most successful Call of Duty launches ever. It had a 60%, increase in sales over, the last two. It had the highest, we talked about this last week, but the highest concurrent player count of any Call of Duty for its launch date. It increased Game Pass subscriptions record-breaking fucking numbers right there. And some of the best reviews the series has seen in its entire legacy. So I want to play this fucking game now, I'll be honest with you. I actually really want to play this fucking game. Simply because the hype is that astronomically big. Everybody keeps telling me this is a fun fucking game. And really, I think making it so accessible with Game Pass and giving people a chance to try that service and enjoy such a flagship title now. Like this, we've been talking to somebody on Microsoft. They were banking on this fucking moment right now. They were banking on this goddamn moment for years. It's like, just wait, it's gonna fucking pay off. And I guess it fucking did, because Activision went all out. So Call of Duty, I'm a hater, but you fucking got me on this one. So
That you know, I wish I had more time to play, because the zombies mode in this is fucking fun as hell. Mm-hmm. The gunplay feels great. I don't really play Call of Duties on the Xbox. I like to play it on either PC or PlayStation just because of controllers, but you know, I downloaded it on Game Pass. I played Zombies. I actually want to play the campaign because I heard the campaign is actually an improvement.
That's what everybody says. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to get to that. But yeah, I mean, I downloaded it. I played it. It's fucking fun as hell. You can easily lose 2-3 hours in the Zombies mode. It's just responsive. The movement is great once you find how you want to move, and like, yeah, it's just tight and just like a nice fucking Call of Duty experience, man. I don't like multiplayer because I hate getting fucking pissed. Mm-hmm. But for me, campaign and zombies is enough to where, like, once this is on sale, like, yeah, I do want to buy it and not just have it on Game Pass.
Would you have it for the PS5, or how would you go and do it?
Well, you know, with Christmas coming up, the kid wants it on PS5. So he'll probably, if he gets it on PS5, then I get it on PS5.
I might be getting a PS5 soon, so we'll fucking see.
I was gonna say, they're only the Slim's down to 380 for fucking Christmas, you know?
Oh, shit. Actually, I got some sources on the OG, but we'll fucking see. I just gotta get some stuff lined up, and then we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I don't know. Call of Duty, like Activision, Microsoft, honestly, this whole episode, I've been talking shit a lot before, but you guys really came back this one. So, way to go. Let's see how your other games do. And since there's going to be so many new Game Pass subscribers, launch those bitches quick. So, let's see. Indie in what, 2 weeks? We'll see how that does.
I don't know. Indie, I think, is... I thought Indiana Jones was next week. Next year.
Oh, wait. Is it January? I thought it was December.
I thought it was January. Was it December? Oh, fuck. I don't know.
No, for PS5.
Maybe. Oh, okay. That's what
Yeah, it's December 9th, so it's actually in like less than a month. So yeah. All
right. Oh, speaking of which, I found a little hookup for Game Pass Ultimate. If you want a little link, dude, cdkeys.com.
Send it.
I got 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate for only like $30. When it's so you basically it's 2 months worth for okay. three.
All right. Well,
and then they also had a normal game. What is it? A normal
like the Xbox. Game Pass Core or whatever.
Yeah, for only like $5, so I bought that too. I mean, I'm gonna stack
it. Slap it over. Slap it over. Let's see. Let's fucking see it. Yeah, what about your win though?
So my win is tying back to what I was talking about a little earlier about I just hate the fact that the games nowadays can just be brought offline at the you know drop of a dime. But I recently, and this ties into my what am I playing? But
bring it.
I don't know, this past month I've been like just like fucking balls deep in like my emulators and my retro games that I've bought collected over the years, like my fucking PlayStation 2 games, my PSPs, which are fucking modded with a whole bunch of, you know, emulators and shit. I actually busted out of the garage my old Nintendo, Super Nintendo Classic and my PlayStation Classic.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've just been fucking around with those, like just kind of seeing what I had on there, playing some games. But yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, think about it. Well, there's not going to be any type of games from this generation I can do that with.
Mm-hmm.
Like in
just plug and play,
right?
No,
yeah,
it's not fucking possible.
Yeah,
it really ain't possible.
Yeah, for me, it's more like I'm just throwing it back this month about, you know, emulation and the retro game stores that just like still keep that fucking that gaming going like that, where you can just go in and look. I know sometimes they overprice the shit out of those games, but
no.
You can find some. You can find some fucking some gems in there. I found you know quite a bit in my searches for them.
I went to Korean barbecue on fucking Sunday, and it's next to a place called World 8 in Koreatown, good old Central Los Angeles. And I gotta say that the if you want something from the OG, people go there, and it seemed pretty reasonable. It actually seemed pretty fucking reasonable for what they were offering. So I was like, shit, it might be. I don't want to sell my GameCube games because I really like that their value keeps going up. but I'll keep an eye out, you know? This is a good, it's like a fun hobby. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much my win, is just throwing it back old school.
Nice. Nice. Cool. And then I'm going to go to a quick what are you playing? I still haven't beat Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, but I will say it's very addicting. When I get a chance to play it, I assume I'm going to play for like 20 minutes. You know when you like pick up a game and you're like playing and you put it down, but then you like pick it right back up? That's kind of how I feel about this, because I keep thinking like, but I know how to get through that room, so fuck it. I'm going to go back and I'm going to fucking get through the room.
yeah, and it bugs you, right?
It bugs the shit out of me. It's much more puzzle heavy and like problem solving heavy than action. So it stimulates a certain part of your brain that I think is very classic Zelda. So Echoes of Wisdom is a great game. I cannot wait to beat it. I want to see more of the dungeons and more of the world. The world's fucking fantastic. I keep finding new things, and it's actually bigger than I think it is. So yeah, that's
what she said. Oh, whoa.
Princess. So yeah, Echoes of Wisdom, great stuff. And then I've honestly just been cycling through some random Pokemon games emulation wise again, Soul Silver, and I think I did one of the Emerald or something. But I just like seeing my mons, you know, go through, seeing how the game's evolved. And people at work, we were having this conversation. I don't know, I think I sparked something because everybody's playing Pokemon now, so it's really, really fun. Because we're all just like, yeah, dude, I'm playing. Someone actually showed me the D-make you were talking about.
I was gonna say
the like, Emerald D-make.
Yeah, if the you know the random Pokemon games are getting going, what you need to do is hit up these what do they call it, ROM hacks that people do.
No, I was literally showed one. They played on their iPhone actually.
Yeah,
dude, it's very cool looking.
But you can totally put it on your tablet, and I can show you how off the show if you want me to.
All right. I'll bring it. Bro's giving time, baby. Tablet's coming.
I don't want to get sued by Nintendo.
No. It's okay. We're not Power World. You're fine.
But, yeah, no, there's, like, yeah, those ROM hacks of Pokemon games are fucking crazy. Like, some people, I forgot what it's called. I downloaded it. I think it's called Clear Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically Pokemon Crystal, but you get to choose your starting area. So you can choose. You can start in Kanto or you can start in Johto if you want.
I have a Skyrim mod that does the same fucking shit, dude. Start wherever I want. Start wherever I want.
Yeah. So see, so like, it's that like I've been going down that fucking rabbit hole recently of like looking at these ROM hacks for Pokemon games, and I'm just like, God damn, these people are fucking crazy. Mm. Some people make their whole like a whole new game. Like
yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. So no, it's super badass, dude. We're all on a Pokemon kick right now. We got to catch them all. I'm just catching as I go along, and it's a nice breather from the more like brain heavy Echoes of Wisdom. They're stimulating in their little different ways, you know. But yeah, that's all I'm playing right now. How about you? You got quite a fucking catalog right here.
Well, shit, dude. Like I said, this past month I've been like just fucking around with all my old retro games. I've been playing like some of my old PS2 games, just fucking around with them and just being like, damn, they don't make games like this anymore.
Oh yeah.
You know, Tony Hawk 3, fucking I was playing the SOCON games, fucking, oh man, like those are just, yeah, they just don't make games like that anymore, because now they just throw in all this shit that you don't even want or need. Mm-hmm. And then on the PSP, I was looking up all these fucking, you know, like hidden gems and stuff like that that I had tucked away. So I've been downloading some of those. They're called ISOs, which are basically ROMs.
Okay.
So I've been partaking in those on my PSP, and that's what kind of like threw me back to the whole fucking the Microsoft handheld. Is like, dude, like, the PSP was so ahead of its time. It's like not even.
It was. No, honestly, I was a DS boy, but boy, did the PSP look and feel fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. As a handheld, it's the best form factor out there.
Well, not only that, but some of the games on there are just exactly what makes a good, like, portable game. They're side stories to, like, main franchises, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they're just, they supplement and they contribute to the main lore and the story wise. So I just been fucking around with those. My PS3, I dusted off and started slapping some games in there, checking it out. You know, I was like, fuck, I remember playing this with the guys. I don't know if you remember one called Calling All Cars. That shit was fucking
Calling All Cars. I forgot about that shit. Oh my, what a different time in gaming. Fuck.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was just, you know, I was just fucking around with that, making sure all my controllers still work and that. But the real kicker out of all this is what I dusted off the old Wii U.
Really?
And I turned it on, and I looked at it, and I was like, holy shit, the Wii U was the last Nintendo console where you can buy the Virtual Console games for yourself, right? So I was like, son of a bitch. And I turned it on, and dude, I have Ocarina of Time, I got Majora's Mask, I got Paper Mario, I got Pokemon Snap, I got fucking Super Mario 64, I got Mario Kart 64, I got fucking Super Metroid, I got Metroid Fusion, I got Metroid Zero, I got all these fucking games, and I'm like, why can't you let me do this on my Switch Nintendo? Like, just why? Like
I gotta do this here, I gotta be close to my TV to play this shit on the handheld.
Well, then, I totally fucking forgot that I bought, like, a whole bunch of DS games.
I was gonna say, the DS backwards compatibility is fucking cool for that shit.
Yeah, because I was testing around with it, messing around with it, and I ended up finding that the most comfortable way to actually play the DS games was to turn the tablet sideways and use the stylus. So I was playing Phantom Hourglass on my Wii U with the stylus sideways, just like it was a DS.
And I'm official emulation right there, you fuck.
Yeah, and I'm just like, really, Nintendo? You can't let me do this on a fucking Switch? Like, really? So...
Okay. Oh, yeah, I know.
It's just a different time, dude. I was like, fuck. Like, these games are just so much more like complete.
Yeah.
like you can just turn it on, play it, and turn it off. You don't have to worry about fucking updates, and you have to wait fucking 30 minutes to download this to play it. It's like, dude.
I know. Yeah. I know it hurts.
I'm getting hot right now.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You'll just update. You know, get fast internet. It'd be okay. But hope that they don't shut that shit down in the future. That is, God. Yeah. The game is a mess. And our tariffs are coming. So that'll be fun.
Listen, updates. I'm going to take away updates. Listen, you're going to have tariffs and you're going to love it.
You know, update to turn your console. Oh, you already do that? Okay, well, we can't inconvenience you more. Totally fine. We'll find a way to do it. Anyways, so yeah, we've been playing some good shit. And then we'll just conclude with our absurd headline. It's a weirdly... We have a lot of Nintendo stuff on here. This is funny. So Nintendo's suing streamer who pirated unreleased games for millions after they bragged that they, quote, could do this all day, end quote.
Or are they fucking Captain America?
I don't fucking know, right? The lawsuit alleges that Every Game Guru streamed 10 games before they came out and sent a letter to Nintendo boasting he had, quote, 1,000 burner channels, end quote, to stream from. You outed yourself for this? For what? For fucking what?
Why would you fucking email Nintendo and say, hey, look what I'm doing?
Oh my God. Fuck your couches. That's the attitude that he fucking had right there. Yep. Well, how stupid can you be?
Yeah.
Smart enough to burn these fucking games and, like you know, save money, but then dumb enough to just... for clout? Like, who... ugh.
Oh, man, I would die if it was totally fucking just Chris Evans' gif that he had on his main page that said, I can do this all day or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But, what an idiot. What an idiot. Darwin Awards, just... the internet never surprises me. So... mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That's our NPC Gaming Podcast for this week. Check back with us in a couple weeks, most likely. And then, of course, we're closing out the year. So we're going to have the Game Awards, and then we're going to have our own Game Awards, which is which is how we do things over here. So, because it is a slower announcement season. But until then, RIP Tony fucking Todd. And, of course, happy to see, you know, just don't fuck up Mass Effect. Anyways, so I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes. You can normally find me on the Horrible People's Podcast. It is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. We haven't been posting lately because we are busy, but we swear we will be back in the future very, very soon, ideally. But this has also been a production of the Horrible People's Network, which the NPC cast is holding down right now. That's fucking right. So find us there. You'll find a couple other favorite shows. All kinds of great creators. Everybody has a lot of fun. We're just bros talking shit all the time. D&D, everything. So with that, Cordova, where can people find you?
On Instagram, Big Bang Cordova. All one word. That's my username. Mm-hmm. I've been lagging, but I do have some stuff to post. I'm probably going to get more into my video game photography era. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, so,
Lara Croft titties. Really... I see it, dude. It's fine. Dude.
I'm not really playing too many multiplayer games right now. I'm in my single player era, just relaxing. I just fucking played a whole season of Fortnite with my kids, so that kind of drains me.
No, feel you. Feel on that one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just playing a season of anything fucks me up. But cool. All right, guys. See you in a couple of weeks for more NPC gaming news. Adios. Bye. News. Like.